RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, to the New Zealand Transport Agency's proposed tolling of the Takatimu North Link Road in Tauranga, submissions to the NZTA closing 5 o'clock this coming Monday. Quickly from an RNZ story from last week, they tell us that proposed tolls on another Tauranga highway are excessive and grossly unfair, given the city already has two of the country's three toll roads, residents say. Tauranga and Western Bay, plenty of residents are calling out the New Zealand Transport Agency Waka Kotahi's proposal to toll the Takatimu North Link, the TNL, once it opens in 2028. Construction of the $655 million Stage 1, a 6.8K four-lane expressway between Tauranga and Tupuna, is underway, and NZTA proposing to toll to cover maintenance costs and fund the construction of Stage 2. Joining us to talk about this is Western Bay Plenty Councillor for Karikari Waihi Beach Ward, Rodney Joyce, who we have a bit of shared history going back into the radio days. And Rodney, interesting that you've ended up in a beautiful part of the country, Karikari, also representing Waihi Beach Ward. Got family links to Karikari, and I nearly got married. Well, I'm a wedding reception in Karikari, so I know it well. I went through there recently. So great to catch up with you again. And what is it with the growth in around Tauranga now? That's give us an idea of how big this growth is.
Well, I'll give the example of Mokorau, which will be at the end of this road. You know, even 8 years ago, it was a good few kilometres to drive off the highway to get to a Mokorau. Well, a Mokorau is almost at the highway now. Tauranga has a huge problem. It's got nowhere to grow. So it's growing into the Western Bay, which, you know, is our council. But, you know, not only a district council, lots of rural areas, but Tauranga is, you know, expanding rapidly with a big port and all the kiwi fruit and everything. There's a lot of jobs and things here. And so we're finally getting this highway. Some would say 10 years late. As you say, it's, you know, not a small ticket item, and the next stage will be another $1 billion. And the government's made it very clear they're going to toll. So my thing with it is I don't think they've done the maths. You know, they reckon by 2031, 34,000 people will be driving north out of Tauranga along State Highway 2. And they're putting this new road in. But even on their own numbers, less than half the people heading north from Tauranga will use it.
Right.
And I said, well, why build a new motorway and price it off the market?
So they won't use it because of the cost, how much it will cost. Yeah. What are the tolls? What are the proposed tolls, Ronnie?
So they're splitting it between peak and off-peak. So peak will be, I think, $2.10 for stage one and then up to $3.10 when stage two comes in. And then peak will be $3.10 and $4.10.
Right.
But when you think about, I always give the example. You and I are probably old enough. I certainly am. In the old days when you made a toll call, you had an operator and it cost an arm and a leg, and you had to budget a few minutes to talk to Auntie down the South Island.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
And then they put through direct dialing, and the price
STD.
STD, yes, it has so many meanings. And then the prices have crashed. Right now, calling the South Island costs nothing, and the phone companies realise that sometimes if you put your prices down, you make more money.
Yeah,
there's more people.
You get more traffic.
Exactly. Yep. And this is that's what's worrying about this road, because I've just been looking at the modelling, and they've modelled this price, and they've modelled higher prices, but they haven't actually modelled what would happen if they lowered the price. So, for example, if instead of 16,000 people a day using this, it went up to 18,000, they'd get the same money if they dropped the toll by 20 cents.
Right.
If they dropped it to a dollar and got everybody using it, which is probably a bit extreme, they'd still get the same money, about $12 million a year. So I just don't think they've done the math. They really haven't.
Well, that's kind of a no-brainer, Rodney. It's, like, really obvious.
Yeah. They've only looked at this toll and higher.
How would you miss it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've asked. So the council's putting in a submission, and I've been talking to the much brighter person than me that's writing it. And I said, we need to know that they've done their homework. Because why build a new road if you price people so high they won't use it?
Yeah. What about the fairness of it in the big picture? Because, you know, I'm thinking of Transmission Gully, Wellington. I've used that over and over. No tolls on that. That costs an arm and a leg. So there are some parts of the country that are being hit with tolls, others that are not. Surely there has to be some kind of fairness across all the country for this.
Huh? I think, I mean, there is a great groundswell of people who are really peeved up here, because there's only three toll roads at the moment, and two of them are here, one to the east of Tauranga and one to the west, because a little bit of it's tolled already. And the bit of a western area that's already a toll road. But I don't think we're going to be alone on that. I mean, the screams of outrage I've been hearing from the Manawatu about the new road going around the old gorge, you know, and now they're talking about tolling Otaki to Levin. I understand people's pain, and there will be people that will be hurt by this, but I also understand that we're not actually paying our way. The government debt's going up to $180 billion, and they've been spending like money like water without building anything, and now they've run out. So I'm not quite sure what else they can do, to be honest. But it's got to be done in a clever way. Keep the tolls as low as possible, and encourage people to use it in a way that gets the money in, right? I just don't know how they come up with these numbers. They just seem to be the same tolls as elsewhere, and they've just repeated them without actually thinking about it. You know, it's one thing to say it's going to cost you $8 or $9 to get there and back a day if you work in town. If it's just a couple of dollars, then that makes it a lot easier.
Well, you don't notice it when it's chump change, down the back of the couch stuff. But it does all add up.
And that's what I can't understand what they're thinking. It's really hard. Since I've been on council, it's only a couple of years, I've sort of come to realise that we all think we're traffic engineers, especially councillors. We all think we know more than the experts. But, I just think they have, at least publicly, in the documents they've released publicly, they've not looked at going lower and trying to get more people to use it. And the other thing, particularly from our point of view, if people don't use it, there's two problems for us. One is the people in Tapuna are really hacked off. People rat run around the side roads at the moment because you can take 2 hours to get to Tauranga in peak hour at the moment.
Yeah.
When it should be 30 minutes from Karikari. And so people rat run round through Clark Road and other roads in Tapuna that aren't built for it. So, if too many people are still using the old highway, those people will still suffer. And the other thing is the old highway will get dumped on the council. So we will end up paying the maintenance for basically another highway.
Was it ever considered, Rodney, just increasing the capacity of the state highway 2? Was that just not doable?
It was the plan years ago, and I know this because my parents, when they were alive, actually bought a house along the old route. So when they took, if you know Tauranga at all, Bethlehem, where the big Palmer's Garden Centre is on the big roundabout, by the big shopping mall. So there's a swathe of houses on the side heading back down towards Tauranga that have been built in the last, 10 years or so, probably a little bit longer. And that was the highway route. They were going to basically pull apart Bethlehem. And then they decided now there had to be a way. And they sold all that off, and it's not quite a retirement village, but it does seem to be heavily populated by our boomer people are living along there. So there was a plan.
Yeah,
it would have destroyed Bethlehem. Absolutely, a lot of shops, a lot of houses would have had to be taken out.
Okay, no, I understand. Also, recently we covered the issue of the turning right into some of those roads from Omokaroa through to Karikari. The reason I mention that is because that was kind of NZTA thinking again, and they had to sort of rewind themselves from that. So I guess they're competent, but their decision-making has been called into question in this area before, in this physical area.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I mean, it took a huge fight from the residents to get that largely reversed. And there's still one busy road where they've said, okay, everybody else, we're not going to do it, but we're going to leave that barrier on this road where several hundred people live, so you can just forget about it. And I mean, there's been near misses because they've put all these roundabouts in and people aren't expecting traffic to turn. Well, the only way these residents can get home is by going down to the next roundabout and doing a U-turn. And they've had near misses where people have almost hit them. It's a bizarre It was a bizarre example of, I think utopian thinking, you know. Everybody won't mind driving a little bit further. It'll save lives. Yes, it's saving lives. But, you know, people were actually going to have another 10 minutes to get home every day. And ambulances or a fire engine would take longer as well. If there's an accident, you know, they wouldn't be able to get past. In fact, they've had that. They've had an accident on part of that where they put the barrier in and it jams up the traffic. They didn't think it through. But it took a lot of pressure. I mean, the residents managed to corner the transport minister and the local MP's office in Thames over the weekend, one weekend. That's what turned it, is that they...
Really? Okay.
Yeah. The MP here basically got off the fence and went into bat for these guys and dragged the transport minister into a room with these guys, and they basically told him the pain they were going through. And the really silly thing is, and this is the part that's really tragic, is that they've kept that barrier for those poor residents on that road, but other areas where people do die and there are no side roads, they're still not putting barriers in. Oh, so where it's not controversial and it would be a good idea, and there's an area called the Arpiter Curves, which unfortunately does claim lives. And yeah, with it being so busy now, there's no room for mistakes, right? That's the whole theory of it. In the old days, you know, my uncle had a farm on Work Road. In the old days, if you made a mistake, you'd probably get away with it. Now with, you know, tens of thousands of cars and trucks a day using it, you just don't have that wiggle room. So there's areas where they do need barriers that are not controversial, and they just threw up their hands and said, oh, no, leave you guys to it.
So they respond to the public relations look of an issue rather than technical roading considerations.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'd love to see the minutes of the NZTA board meeting that decided to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But, you know, it's just bizarre that to make, you know, and to fix the problem, they've decided not to actually fix the underlying problem. The other thing about this barrier, I don't know if you know, there's 8 bridges along there, the highway there, and they're all narrow bridges. There's one outside a timber mill, which the bridge is so narrow that trucks occasionally clip each other's mirrors off, right?
Right. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah.
But they weren't going to put barriers there because they didn't want to spend the money to fix the bridges.
The reason I sort of brought that up is because, getting back to your point about sort of not doing the math, repairing, not to do the math properly, again, it's sort of like an obvious oversight. More like everything's on, a whiteboard on paper theory of it in a Wellington office rather than actually being out in the physical environment and kind of working it out from there, you know?
It's always hard to know people's intentions, but I do feel this, the median barriers in particular were a bit of an experiment. I mean, they were also tried down near Christchurch and the local residents said nah, and they didn't happen. And I drive down to Christchurch in my van for a trade show once a year and they're all got turning bays in there, you know. And when they first put barriers along this highway, they put gaps in them so the police and fire and ambulance can get through, right? Because the other thing we have here is and the other thing we have here is big horticultural trucks and people's tractors. This is a farming area, and if they're running along the side of the road, some of those things are really big, and they, you know, sure, you've got little weed sprayers, but you also have big tractors and people can't get past.
Yeah, they do what, 40, 50 k's an hour, that's it.
That's right. And then they need to move from farm to farm, so you can't avoid that.
So I mentioned at the start, I think I'm right, so submissions closing this coming Monday, so I guess we could probably understand any submissions that you guys might be making and what might be in there, but is there anything you want to add to that, how you're pitching that?
Yeah, I mean, people need, I mean, these things are like paint drying. I mean, we've just done our 10-year plan. You say that to somebody, their eyes glaze over, but it's actually, some of the stuff's really important. So if you've got the time, jump on the website, Google it, you'll find it, NZTA toll, you know, Tauranga consultation, and fill in the form and say, look, we want you to look at lower tolls that will allow more people to use it so we don't end up with a white elephant. You know, I just want them to rethink. I don't think we'll get it for free. I mean, I agree with your transmission gully. Yeah, my brother was involved heavily in that as Transport Minister at the time. Yeah, that was a different era.
No, I understand that.
Finances. Yeah. But, there must be ways of doing this to actually encourage people to use the road and still, get the money in.
Yeah. And you've got a website too, rodneyjoyce.nz, people can go to as well, right?
I must go and update it. I've got a whole bunch of stuff to stick on there, but I haven't done it yet. So,
lovely picture of Waihee Beach on the front page, though.
It's a lovely area.
It reminds me of running along that beach, actually, many times. So there you go.
My dog loves it.
All right. Rodney, good to catch up with you after all these years and to hear what's happening there with that toll road, and we'll keep an eye on that and let's see what happens.
Good. Thanks for your help. Cheers.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.